Welcome to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Legislative Director of the Federation. Joining us today is a real champion for life, Kurt Condridge. Welcome, Kurt.
Hi, Maria. Thanks for having me on your show, and thanks for the awesome work you do at the PA Pro-Life Federation. You guys are a real priceless gem for our community, and we deeply appreciate all you do.
Thank you so much, Kurt. Kurt, for those who don't know, how did you come to hold your pro-life beliefs?
I was raised in a Christian family. My mom and dad are very devout Catholics. We were brought up and we were always taught from an early age to respect all people, respect all life, and to follow the teachings of the church, the teachings of God's word. So I was raised in, I give, you know, the credit to my parents and the environment they raised me in. And they always encouraged us to be kind to people and to all people, to people with, you know, disabilities and people who were different, people who didn't, you know, not to judge anybody based on their socioeconomic class or skin color or anything. So I, like I said, I think my parents are a good example of how important the effect the parents can have upon their children when they're raising them in a proper Christian environment.
Absolutely. I know that my parents were very instrumental in me becoming the person that I am today, and I'm very thankful for that. And I'm glad that your parents were the people that they were to produce such a wonderful son.
Oh,
now, for those who don't know, who is Chloe and why is she an ambassador for life?
Chloe is my daughter. She's my second born child. My first born child is Nolan, who's actually whose birthday's today. So Chloe actually sang to him on the phone today. And Chloe is my daughter who was born May 16th, 2003. She'll actually be 20 this year. And she was born with a postnatal diagnosis of Down syndrome. And my wife was 40 at the time that she was pregnant with Chloe. And we were told we were high risk to have it. We were at risk to have a child with Down syndrome. We're pressured to have prenatal tests, and which we refused. And we inquired why they were pressuring us. And we were told, you know, so we can make a decision of whether we wanted to keep our child or not. We knew we were having a daughter and we already named her Chloe prenatally. My son was talking to her. So we did not have the test, and Chloe was born. And it's kind of a cold reception in the medical hospital when she was born. And she was a beautiful, beautiful child as she is today. And my wife and I and our family learned shortly thereafter that 70 to 90% of children diagnosed prenatally with Down syndrome were identified, targeted, and terminated. So that was just God nudged me and I took a leap of faith. And Chloe and I just started advocating for these beautiful people and showing their many abilities, not focusing on their diagnosed disability, and meeting with people and going places. And God, I could talk all day, but God has led us on an amazing journey.
Absolutely. Now, can you explain what is Chloe's Law and why is it important?
Sure. After Chloe's birth, I was a police officer at the time. I left my career. I've been a police officer for 20 years and loved what I was doing, but felt God. I always tell people, Maria, I had my life all planned out, but God had his plans for me from the time I was conceived in my mother's womb. And this was my plan. I left my policing career and took a leap of faith, got involved with the disability community. I actually got appointed to chair the Governor's Advisory Council for Early Intervention. And I kind of made that my mission to show the legislators at the Pennsylvania Capitol the abilities of these children. So I took Chloe up there frequently with me, met with legislators, showed all the things she could do, and just put a face on what Down syndrome was. And during that time, I just thought, you know, we need a law in Pennsylvania, because everybody I spoke to in Pennsylvania across the country who were given a prenatal Down syndrome diagnosis, every single person told me they were pressured and just told to abort the child. So I just found that horrifying as I watched my beautiful daughter grow. So I thought, here in Pennsylvania, ultimately, you know, we'd like to outlaw abortion at the time. That was before Roe v. Wade was overturned. But I thought we need a law, an educational law, so that when a family receives a Down syndrome prenatal diagnosis, they're given factual supportive information. And that's what the genesis of Chloe's Law was. Just came to me one night, pitched it to a few legislators, wrote it down on a legal pad, went around, met with legislators in the fall of 2013. And really in a matter of just roughly 7 months, 8 months that law was passed in the House, passed in the Senate. It was on Governor Corbett's desk, who was a good friend of ours. And he signed it and had Chloe and a couple of her friends with Down syndrome sign it. And it was what the importance of it shined light on what was happening to these kids. Because after that law passed, people started coming up and saying, I never knew that was happening. I never knew. I was wondering why we didn't see a lot of these kids. So I think it was a light exposing this silent eugenic movement against Down syndrome. And it kind of catapulted Chloe and I onto this mission of, you know, speaking across the country. You know, we're actually going to be speaking to the United Nations in a few weeks for the third time. It was something that enabled people to see what was happening. It brought awareness to this issue. It spawned other types of legislation across the country. We got involved in the states working on this type of legislation, actually helped West Virginia get a ban on Down syndrome abortion last year. So it's just, you know, I look at it as a seed that God planted and used us as his instruments to cultivate, and it's grown into something amazing to be a protector and a defender for life.
And what is Chloe up to these days?
Oh, she's in school. She's having a really good school year. She's dancing. We have a big dance event coming up. She's going to be playing baseball in the spring. She's not a winter person like any of us. We still manage to go out and get ice cream and do things. She got a zoo membership for Christmas from my daughter-in-law's family, which is an awesome thing we're using. And she's just being a kid, you know. Chloe goes to Home Depot and Lowe's kids classes. I give a shout out to both those organizations for having that. She enjoys going there and working on things. And, you know, she's visiting with her brother, who's married now, to his beautiful wife, Haley, and enjoying life. And we'll be heading to the beach for Easter break. And she brings light and joy to the world. That's what she's doing now.
She absolutely does. And what is she going to be doing at the United Nations?
We're going to be speaking up there. World Down Syndrome Day is on March 21st. It was designated that day because children with Down syndrome, individuals with Down syndrome, have three of the 21st chromosome. So every year on 3/21 is World Down Syndrome Day. And we'll be speaking up there again about the eugenics that are happening across not just this nation, but across the globe, the global audience. And it's interesting, we're going to be speaking there on 3/17, which is St. Patrick's Day. And Ireland recently, unfortunately, has taken a wrong turn as far as abortion and abortion of children with Down syndrome. They have like a 95% abortion rate in Ireland. I'm going to bring that up when I speak to the United Nations, actually invite the ambassador from Ireland to come to our presentation. But we're going to be speaking about that, and we're going to be this kind of came to me, Maria, but my theme up there is going to be from the old song, What the World Needs Now is Love. And I'm going to highlight to these individuals who are going to be there from all these different countries. Actually, the country of Cameroon in Africa is sponsoring this event. And I'm going to speak to how, if you read the global headlines, there's wars and rumors of wars and nations rising up and death, depravity, and darkness everywhere you look on the globe. I said, as a police officer of 20 years, as a person who knows history, the one thing that's missing from these headlines is a person with Down syndrome, which you won't find committing any of these atrocities or malice across the globe. But meanwhile, countries across the globe are engaged in this silent genocide against these individuals. So my argument and statement at the United Nations next month will be that we need more of these people. We need to ensure that we outlaw this eugenic practice of eliminating people based upon what a cultural mandate for perfection is, which none of us can attain to. And I'm also going to highlight how we're all disabled, and we all will become disabled as we travel through life. And I don't know, God's going to open some doors. I just feel it. You know, he always does. I go a lot of leap of faith. I'm kind of like a soldier. I just go wherever my commander, which is Jesus, sends me and he's sending me up there. And I go up there ready to do battle with the forces of darkness.
Kurt, do you think we need to educate the medical community about the giftedness of people with disabilities?
Absolutely, because they're the people that are delivering these prenatal diagnoses, and they're also the people who deliver these babies. Families that, like ours, that did not have a prenatal diagnosis, but they're the first ones to identify these children. So they need to know the gift, the beauty, the many abilities of these individuals, and you know, how a kind word goes a long way. And they also, a lot of medical people need to understand supports in the community, like early intervention and, you know, Special Olympics and Miracle League and all the beautiful Center for Theater Arts that are beautiful things that are available for these people to plug into. And, you know, as opposed to giving it, you know, I read things about, you know, these people are burdened, you know, that they're this and that. It's all negative terminology. Even the word risk does not connotate something good. So I think they need to rephrase their wording, which we all know words mean a lot to people. And to like I said, to highlight that, yeah, hey, yeah, you know, you maybe you weren't expecting this child, but this, you have a beautiful, even when Chloe was born, the doctor just said, boy, your daughter's beautiful. You know, I mean, just kindness. We've lost kindness as a society. That's why we've fallen into this darkness we've fallen into. But definitely the medical community being the first people, like as I said, to give a prenatal diagnosis or to deliver a child and let the family know about this need to be educated on the many beautiful things. And that's why it's important. That's why from day one, I've taken Chloe out with me. I've had people look my daughter in the eye and say, you tell me my daughter's any less valuable or any less beautiful or you know, should not be here in society. And they can't. It's kind of a haunting, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. And Chloe has met some powerful people, including a number of public officials. Can you talk about that?
Sure, that's all. I once again, you know, Marie, I give all the credit to God. We're his instruments, he's the master craftsman, and we go where he leads us. But you know, we were invited to the White House in 2018 when President Trump addressed the March for Life live for the first time ever, a United States president. And I thought we were sitting in the audience, and it turned out we were on the stage with him and stood behind him. And at the end, he kissed Chloe on the head. And I think it really brought up, once again, it was a great visual to see, here's a child that the world said doesn't belong here, standing next to the president for an extremely historical event. She's came friends with Vice President Pence, a picture of Chloe and Vice President Pence hung in the West Wing of the White House when they were in office there. There's many governors, Governor Corbett. We just helped Governor Justice of West Virginia get a law passed down there banning Down syndrome abortion. I have beautiful pictures of her with Governor Justice and his dog at the West Virginia Capitals. She's met other members of Congress. Kathy McMorris Rogers, who's in leadership in Congress, is a very dear friend of ours. As a matter of fact, when Roe v. Wade was overturned last year, Kathy McMorris Rogers made the first remarks in the United States Capitol. I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this, but the first person she referenced after the overturning of Roe v. Wade was Chloe. That's who she referenced in her remarks. So that's a lot of really cool history right there. And she actually messaged me before, said, Kurt, make sure you're tuned into my remarks because when I go live. And that's who she mentioned. So I think that says a lot right there, that after all these years of Roe v. Wade, the first child that was mentioned in America in the halls of Congress was Chloe. So that's pretty neat how God has used us for this mission.
I want to write about that. That is so beautiful.
I go, I know I sent it to you, Marie. I sent you stuff. But yeah, that was the first person mentioned after the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Now, can you talk about the controversy in Iceland as it relates to the abortion of Down syndrome children?
Sure. The first time we spoke to the United Nations was in 2017. And one of the main reason we were up there is in 2017, one of the medical heads up in Iceland proudly came out and proclaimed that they had cured Down syndrome in Iceland because they had nearly 100% abortion rate because they have socialized medicine and were pretty much mandating, or people thought it was mandated, for the prenatal testing. So they had pretty much wiped out all children diagnosed with Down syndrome, and they used the word, we have cured Down syndrome. So that was something I addressed in 2017 and in 2018 at the United Nations. If curing somebody means to kill them off, then God help us all. And I also brought up the fact that, you know, when I spoke up there, what if we have a prenatal test for autism or depression or ADHD or, you know, whatever, breast cancer, baldness, bad skin, you know, the list goes on. I have a niece who has dwarfism, who's a beautiful, successful young lady. What if society says she doesn't belong there? So, you know, that was the thing that I brought up, you know, and if curing something because they say that the person doesn't meet the unattainable cultural mandate for perfection is killing them. And God help us. And also, as a note of history, I love history. You know, the first people the Germans came for were the disabled. They came in the institutions. They took the disabled away because they wanted to create a pure race and they wanted to see people's reactions. And after they did that, then they came for the Jewish people and they came for the Catholics. And then they came for anybody who didn't follow what they said. So it's a lesson in history we all need to know.
You're listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher. Today, we are speaking with Kurt Condridge, an ambassador for life, and especially for people with disabilities. Kurt, what sports stars has Chloe met over the years?
Well, she's met a lot of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm a big Pirate fan, baseball fan. She's met Andrew McCutchen and Andy LaRoche when he played here, and Adam LaRoche, and most of the members of the team. She was invited to their lunch during Pirate signing day and this and that. Worked out. She actually warmed up on the field with Andy LaRoche when he played third base. She has met with Albert Pujols, who's a future Hall of Famer. Played in St. Louis most of his career, then in Los Angeles, and then came back to St. Louis. He actually, him and his wife flew us out to St. Louis for their big gala. We met him out there. He signed a bunch of her stuff, and then they actually flew me out to California to speak at a conference they had concerning Down syndrome eugenics in California. That was my first trip ever to California, so that was kind of neat. And I flew out there and spoke with that. So it's been really neat. Just once again, she met some other baseball players at those events, and she has a list of VIPs. I often tell mothers, if your daughters want to meet some cool people, have them be friends with Chloe, because she has more connections than most people do in a full lifetime. So,
and speaking of connections, what musical artists has Chloe connected with?
Well, we love Christian music, and she's met Toby Mac, Chris Tomlin, Big Daddy Mike Weaver, Big Daddy Weave, Jordan Police, Mandisa, goodness gracious, every well-known Christmas artist. David Crowder, she's friends with. I actually text him when he's in town, his agent, and she gets backstage and meets with him. The band Switchfoot was just one of my son's favorite Christian bands. I wrote to them, and it turns out their guitar player has a brother with Down syndrome, and they had us backstage and gave my kids their guitar picks and drumsticks when they played New York City. So she's met with them, and then Chloe gave them a picture of her with the band, and they put it up in their bus and sent Chloe a picture saying that your picture's on our tour bus from now on. And as even secular artists, Chloe likes the Chainsmokers, some of your listeners have heard of, and staying in Paris. And I wrote to them, and they must have a soft heart. But they played here in Pittsburgh. They had Chloe and her brother and his wife backstage, met with them, signed autographs, did pictures with them. And they had us down front. And when he sang Paris, he came up, sang it in front of Chloe. So she has this purity and goodness that everybody's drawn to, whether, and especially in the world today with so much malice and evil and so many things that are happening and everybody's on edge. And, I just think people are looking for that. And that's what she is. She doesn't, it's natural. She doesn't have to fake it or anything. So I think people are drawn to that.
How would you speak to a couple who has just received a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome?
I've spoken to couples before. First thing I say is congratulations. You got a beautiful child on the way. I know, like I said, it might not have been what you were expecting, but I can guarantee you, it's going to be a beautiful experience. And I tell them about all the wonderful services that are available. Like I said, I can't say enough about early intervention, and Pennsylvania has one of the best systems in the country and all the good things. And I try to wipe away any of the things they've heard that, are not correct, and let them know. And I've taken Chloe to meet with couples who are pregnant with children with Down syndrome. And I can say Chloe's met with at least three couples who were pregnant with a child, mother was pregnant with a child with Down syndrome, who might've been considering abortion after they met with Chloe. It was off the table. So having those personal meetings, I share positive info. I share the stuff I'm telling you of all the stuff that Chloe's done, and say, look at it. Does this seem like a disabled child to you? And I even tell the couples, I say, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. If you want to meet somebody who's really disabled and screwed up, you've met them. You've met me. I said, my daughter's not disabled. My daughter has many abilities, and I say this, I don't know what I did right to have a child like this and to be so blessed in my life.
Do you remember where you were when you found out that Roe versus Wade was overturned?
I was actually at home when I heard somebody texted me, called me, and I heard about it. And it was the week of my birthday, and it was kind of surreal. I'll be honest with you, Maria. I look back on that, and you think of 6 3 million plus innocent children, terminated, killed, and the years. And I think of all the advocacy and speaking we've done, and then it was suddenly overturned. And I thought there would be more of a fanfare from the churches and the pro-life community. I really did, I'll be honest with you. And I was kind of disappointed there wasn't. It just kind of it didn't seem to have the I don't know, the celebration of what it really was for that being. But then I also look back and I think it's kind of neat how during probably one of the most pro-abortion institutions right now, setups we have in government, that God used a person like Donald Trump to set up the Supreme Court, which overturned Roe v. Wade in the middle of, like I said, the most pro-abortion administration we've had in years. And Congress, both House, Senate, and White House, very pro-abortion, but God said, that's okay, I got this. And he over, uses these people to overturn Roe v. Wade. So it was awesome. I mean, I celebrated myself and I think we went out to eat, but it wasn't, it wasn't the fanfare. I picture like the end of World War II or something. And that's, to me, historically, that's what that was. But we still have a lot of work to do, as you know, the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, with the states having control now. But it was an awesome moment, and it was a moment to celebrate for all of us for what happened.
What is the biggest misconception about children with Down syndrome?
I think, Maria, a lot of people assume that a child with Down syndrome is defined as Down syndrome. I've had people say to me, "Oh, I've been around those people before, and I've been, I'm talking to you right now. We both wear glasses, but our glasses don't define who we are." A person with Down syndrome, when you make an education plan form, it's called an IEP, and I always remind people the I stands for individualized. So people with Down syndrome are individuals. Chloe has different dietary likes, music likes, friends, this and that, than other kids with Down syndrome. They have to understand they're all unique individuals, all created in the image of God, but they're all different. And they all are different people, and they all, some like sports, some don't, some like to cook, some like the whatever. They're people. I think that's a misconception. And they're not I've heard people say the word burden is, they're not a burden. Chloe requires some extra care and this and that, but I would argue so do all of us. When I talk to families and churches and conventions and that, I always ask people, does anybody out there have a normal child? And nobody raises their hand because nobody's normal. And no children are normal, and every child, every person needs extra levels of care on certain things. So those are the misconceptions, that they're not all the same, and they're beautiful people, and they're not a burden to society or families.
Kurt, what is your hope for the cause of life in America?
That we restore a culture of life, so that one day, Mike Pence says it to, that when Roe v. Wade's on the ash heap of history, that one day we'll look back on abortion as the way we look back on slavery, as the way we'll look back on women's suffrage movement, as the way we'll look back on child labor laws. When, I live in Western Pennsylvania, where kids were going into coal mines at age 7, you would say, "My God, I can't believe that happened in this country." And my hope is that one day we restore this culture of life in America, where people look back and everybody will agree that we cannot believe that that happened. Just like in Germany, they can't believe what happened in the Holocaust, but it happened. And abortion is, it is the leading cause of death in America. It's the leading cause of death in the African American community. It's just led to such a slaughter of innocence and of our most, America's, people talk about, our resources and this and that. Our most priceless national treasure in America is human life. And until we get that right, until we embrace that, then we'll never move forward and prosper as a country. And my hope in America, with the advocacy I do, is that people with Down syndrome, my motto is embrace, don't erase, that they'll realize that these individuals are a gift. And that all people are a gift, and all disabilities, diagnosed disabilities, are a gift, and you know, we'll support them and take care of them and be there for them.
I think that's a beautiful vision. And I think that people need to realize that we can work toward that vision. It just takes some effort, and it takes a whole lot of faith, but we can get there as a nation. We just need to try.
Well, and I use myself as an example, Maria. I mean, honestly, I was a BCom. I went to IUP. I don't have, you know, great degrees. I don't come from wealth. I don't come from pedigree. I'm just a working middle class person who's like most people in this country, who just works hard and wants to take care of his family. And, you know, and so God's used me because I was obedient and available for awesome things. And I often tell people, I said, if you surrender your life over to Jesus and you allow him to use you, if everybody would, we would see this transformation, you know. And we do have to speak up when we see injustices and we see things that are wrong. You know, we have to be willing to speak up. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is evil. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. God will not hold us guiltless. So we need to realize, especially as, you know, followers of Christ, that we need to speak up. And that's why we're here. And that's why Jesus sent out his disciples, was to speak up and was to be the light in the darkness and was to be the truth in the lies. And that's how this country will transform. And, you know, I challenge anybody to get out and do it. And like I said, I want to remind your listener, I'm not God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. This is the last place I ever thought I'd be in my life. But then again, I'm sure Mary, when she was pregnant with Jesus, thought the same thing. I'm sure Paul, I'm sure the disciples, I'm sure Jonah, when he was inside of the belly of the fish, I'm sure Moses, when God told him to go back into Israel. God uses the regular people, not the high and mighty. He uses regular people to transform things in an amazing way across the world. So I would challenge everybody out there to surrender your life over to God and allow him to use you and see where he takes you in your journey.
And remember to always choose life. Thank you so very much, and take care.
Thanks.